blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 5. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make. To thee I bring my sad complaint. To thee my bitter grief I take. 1 through 5 of Psalter 388.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first epistle general of John, the fifth chapter, 1 John chapter 5. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning the DeLeo family who has lost their grandfather in this past week, 5 weeks after that they have lost their grandmother. Also, Mrs. Petro Vendriel hopes to travel to Africa this week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God of heaven and of earth, we are called in this morning together around about thy holy word, and also in this morning round about thy holy sacrament, which is to be administered once again in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, it is according to thy holy command, because it is thy own institution, and it is a testimony of the care and the love that thou hast for thy church, as they are in the weakness of that faith by which they are saved. And then it is a hope that is born in their soul, which is attacked on every side, for that prince of darkness would take away all the comfort of thy church, and that they would doubt of thee, and thou wilt establish them in that most holy faith. But oh, that thou may give it also then in this morning, that it may be food and drink that thou hast prepared in the house of God in this morning hour for those that are weak. Oh, that thou may strengthen them also for the warfare which needs to be fought here below, while they still remain a church militant. And thou knowest how that it is within the heart of each and every one of them, because thou knowest from their own side what thou hast revealed unto them, what thou hast opened of the wretchedness and of the sin. For we are unworthy of the least of all thy notice and thy attention. And there lieth within us nothing but transgression and sin. And when we read thy holy law, then against every commandment we have transgressed against thee. And thou knowest the covetousness, and thou knowest the lie that lives in our heart. Thou knowest the filthiness, thou knowest the pollution, thou knowest the hatred, thou knowest the rebellion, thou knowest the idolatry, thou knowest the wanderings, thou knowest the vanity. Lord, what can we say? And but from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And who would dare to approach unto that holy table of the Lord in such a way as he finds himself to be? But oh, hast thou not also opened just a little bit of those blessed treasures which are to be found in thy only begotten Son? Oh, that thou may also give in this morning an eye to behold him and all that he has come to do, to pay the price for those who have sinned and continue to sin against thee. That the eye of faith may go out once again by renewal, and that it may be applied within the heart of those who do not know any other way to be reconciled to a God whom they have come to love, whom they have come to miss, and who they cannot go on without in this world anymore. Lord, do bestow a blessing this morning undeservedly unto each and every one of us. Oh, that thou may open also the hypocrisy that is lying in the heart. Oh, when we have presumed upon all that is thy children's, and when it belongeth not unto us, then wilt thou open our eyes, and wilt thou make us honest in the sight of an all-knowing God. In this morning hour, in the midst of the congregation, and that thou may thyself look upon those who are not able from their own side to make that testimony in the midst of the congregation. Oh, that thou thyself may speak, and that thou thyself may draw, that thy true work may become evident to the glory of thy great and holy name. Help us, Lord, this morning, as thy servant in the administration of this holy sacrament, that we may feel that underneath are the everlasting arms, and that thou thyself dost go before us in all these ways.
and that thou may look upon those who are not able to be here in this morning. Oh, wilt thou remember all the afflicted and sick ones, the young girl that is still in the hospital, and bless the therapy that she may receive in that place. And wilt thou be to her this day a sanctuary in the place that thou hast brought her. And all that are afflicted, those that mourn, and remember the mourning family also in our midst. Wilt thou give to all that mourn that which they need from above, as thou alone art able to give comfort, thy servant and his wife together. In the Netherlands, wilt thou be on their right and on their left this day, and in the days that are to come with all their children and grandchildren. And wilt thou give traveling mercies to those that will go to there from this place in the day of tomorrow. And also her that hopes to travel far also to see her parents. Lord, that thou may be on the right and on the left. And wilt thou look upon all the needs in the midst of the congregation, that thou may supply in each and every one. But wilt thou separate us for a few moments in this morning hour around thy truth. Oh, that it may be bound upon our hearts, and that we may feel that thy presence is also among us, though we are those that do least deserve it. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. Psalter 235, all stanzas. Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word that we have read to you. 1 John 5, and thereof the first part of verse 10. 1 John 5, verse 10a. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So far, the words of our text. The witness within the heart of the believer. First, what it means to believe on the Son of God. And second, what witness is in the heart upon such believing. The witness within the heart of the believer, first, what it means to believe on the Son of God, and second, what witness is in the heart upon such believing. He that believeth. Congregation, do you believe? He that believeth. Thus it speaks about faith, and faith that is a mark of that true church of God. By grace are ye saved through faith. Thus we may ask ourselves, do I also believe? He that believeth. Our children know when a man begins to believe. That is what the Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. And then a man, he begins to believe. You say, what does such a man begin to believe? Well, we have heard this. We have heard this. And then there is a general object of faith that is God. And so Ruth began to believe in this God when she was in the land of Moab. Do you also believe? Do you also love that God as Ruth has loved that God? Is that God the desire of your heart that you may return once again to Him? When I believe in that God, I believe in His existence, I believe in His law. I believe that I have to appear before Him. I believe He is my Creator. I believe that He made me good and upright. I believe the reality that I have fallen away from Him. Do you also believe? He that believeth on the Son of God. Thus last time then we heard there is not only a general object of faith, but there is also a special object of faith. That is what John speaks of in this word. He that believeth on the Son of God. Do you also believe on the Son of God? That is, congregation, a mark of a self-examination. Blessed are they which do hunger and do thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then that mark cannot be missing if that we will commemorate the Holy Supper of the Lord in uprightness and in truth, if we will do it in the right manner. Why? Because He has said, do this in remembrance of Me. He that believeth on the Son of God? Oh, do you also believe on the Son of God? You say, perhaps, what does that mean? What does that mean to believe on the Son of God? And that is indeed a very important question. A question that the Lord Jesus, He has very many times addressed in the time that He was upon the face of the earth. You say, what does that mean? What does John mean when he says, he that believeth on the Son of God? Because there is an historical faith, and there is a miraculous faith, and there is a temporary faith. Is this then what John is speaking about when he says, he that believeth on the Son of God? That is not what John speaks of. And we have no time in this morning to speak about all of these. But we will speak only of that which John is speaking of here in the words of our text. And he is speaking about a true saving faith on that Son of God. And why? Why is it that he speaks about this true saving faith? And why is it that we must try to say something of this true saving faith in this morning hour? Because that temporary faith is a faith that makes a claim. Have we not prophesied in thy name and done many wonderful works? Thus it is making a claim to believe on that Son of God. And then that true faith that is often in the place of that father of the lunatic, where he says in all of his distress, and when the Lord, he is pressing him as to the issue, then he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Thus so often that faith, that true faith that is buried under that wicked unbelief, and so that people, they are not able, as it were, to find even that faith in their heart, that they say, does that faith that exist there at all? He that believeth on the Son of God, congregation, do you believe on the Son of God? Thus, the Apostle John speaks about believing unto salvation. What does that mean? Do we have examples in the Word of God who have so believed in that Son of God, even as in that way that the Apostle John is speaking about this believing in the Son of God? Oh, there comes a moment in the life of God's children that they begin to believe in the Son of God. And when is that? That is, congregation, when that Son of God is revealed to their soul, then they begin to believe in that Son of God. Lately, we have spoken to you about Jairus, and there came a moment that Jairus also began to believe in the Son of God. And when was that? That was when Jairus was standing beside his dying daughter. Then there came the first moment in his life that he began to believe in the Son of God. When was that? That was when he had come to an end of all of his own work. That was when all the labors of his hands he had to experience in his life were fruitless. and death that was lying now at the door. And when he was standing there, and then all of a sudden, in that one moment, then the Lord has directed him that he may see and that he may believe on the Son of God. Was his case solved? No, his case was not solved. Was his daughter whole? No. Nothing has changed in all the condition that was there in that home. Nothing has changed except for one thing. He began to believe in the Son of God. Thus, no change in an external way. But there was a great change in that moment in the heart of this Jairus. Had he much religion? He was a ruler of the synagogue. He had much religion, but this has never come upon him before in his life. And it was now in this moment that there came a great change. And what was that change? Oh, and then he began to seek in a way that he has never sought before. That way of seeking to avoid that coming punishment, to avoid and to be delivered from that coming death. Or in that moment, that he began to believe in the Son of God, then all that way that he had tried and that he had come an end to in his life, that now ceased. And in that moment, the opinion of Jairus concerning that Son of God has completely changed. He has never seen him in that way as he saw him in that moment that he began to believe in the Son of God. And it was in that moment that he acquiesces. It is in that moment that he is made willing to cease from all his own useless efforts. It is in that moment that he is made willing and also desirous that he may cast himself down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and just to pray to him and just to ask him, Lord, oh, wilt thou come and wilt thou heal my daughter? No, he has not physically done it yet. But in his heart, oh, in his heart, he has already lain there. Oh, he began to believe in the Son of God. In that moment, then faith began to go out. Faith began to take refuge that he may be leaning and looking wholly and solely unto that Son of God. In that moment, there was a hope born in that heart of Jairus. And what hope was that? That was that hope that would in the end not be put to shame. He didn't know this yet. No, he could not yet see the end, but that hope that was there. And in the end, then he shall know that that was the moment that that hope was born. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. he that believeth on the Son of God. What does Paul say? He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is, he has made unto us everything. The fall that has involved the entire man, the soul and the body of man. It has affected our state before God, that we have become guilty. It has affected our affections, that we do not anymore love him. It has affected our mind, our intellect, that we have become foolish. It has affected our will, that we have become rebellious. The entire man, soul and body, he has been affected by that awful fall. And now that Son of God, is the answer. His Son of God is the solution to that entire fallen being of man. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But that is not something that is revealed to that people all in one moment. No, the Lord is working by points. The Lord is working by points in the conviction of sin, and he is also working by points in the revelation of the redemption of his only begotten Son. Thus he is revealing in his Son that which is suitable over against in answer to that which he has revealed to his people in their malady. Thus they come to begin to believe in that Son of God. What did David say? Lord, thou knowest my foolishness and my sin that is not hid from thee. Why foolish? David says, because of my departure, because of my transgression. Congregation, what is man but an utter fool? Do you ever feel something of this? What an utter fool that he has left, that he has departed from his Maker. What an utter fool that he has left God in that state of innocence wherein he had communion with him. What an utter fool that he has transgressed all his commandments, that he does not desire his communion. And what an utter fool in the way that he will try again to come into his presence when he denies the wretchedness and the depth of his own fall, that he thinks that he can bring himself again by his own doing, by his own righteousness, into the blessed communion with the Lord. Oh, did the Lord ever show to you your foolishness? David, he says, thou knowest my foolishness and my sins are not hid from thee. But when the Lord now gives to such a person a little insight into his only begotten Son, then what is the Lord doing? The Lord is showing to him something of the wisdom of the Lord over against all of his own foolishness. Oh, then Christ Jesus, he is made unto that people to be wisdom, we read. When the Lord shows to that people the wisdom in that way that he will bring that people back again unto himself, that wisdom, how that the Lord will give a substitute for the sin of his people.
Oh, that they may enter just a little bit into that wisdom, and that they may see how that it is over against all of their own foolishness. Oh, then they see some of that wisdom of that triune God, even in that only begotten Son, and they begin to believe on that Son of God. And then that heart that is beginning to seek that way back unto God in that way that He has given in His Son. Oh, then He is made unto them wisdom. He is wisdom over against all of their own foolishness. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Oh, there is another people. There is another people. They do not see so much their foolishness. No, but they see so much of their unrighteousness. That is another aspect of the wretchedness of the reality of the fall of man, his unrighteousness. Oh, then more and more he comes to see how unrighteous that he is, until he has to agree with God's servant that he says, all of my righteousnesses, even they are as filthy rags. And what is now the balm? What is now the balm of Gilead that is fitting for this wound that is coming in the heart of some of that elect people of the Lord? Oh, that is not that the Lord is showing so much of the wisdom. No, but the Lord is going to show unto them something of the righteousness of His only begotten Son, so that thief, then he may see, that he may say, this man had done nothing amiss. What was that? That was over against all he had done amiss. And so that people, they see just a little bit. Oh, then they see just sufficient that is over against that conviction that the Lord has laid in their heart. And then what do? They begin to believe on that Son of God. Oh, then they begin to seek it in the way of that Son of God. There is another people. They see not so much of their foolishness. They see not so much, no, their unrighteousness. But what do they see? They see so much of the filthiness. They see so much of the pollution that is laying in their heart. They see that it is nothing but a fountain of corruption. Oh, they feel their heart to be as what it says in God's word about the wicked. And that the wicked, they are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. That it is always bringing up mire and dirt. Oh, then they feel it day by day. Then it is the evil lust of their flesh. Oh, then it is the wicked and the evil thoughts, the wicked and the evil desires. And they are not able to rid themselves of all of this filthiness. No, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And what does the Lord do? Oh, then the Lord, He comes over through His word. Then the Lord speaks. Then the Lord reveals something to that people of whom? Of His only begotten Son. Oh, and then He is not showing to them His righteousness. No, then He is not showing unto them His wisdom. No, then He is showing something unto them which will be fitting to that wound that He has placed in their heart. And what is that? Oh, when they feel their corruption, then He is showing unto them something of the blessed holiness of that precious being. Oh, can they say then, oh, I know now the Son of God. No, 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 they will never be able to dare to say that. But, and yet they receive a little glimpse of Him. Oh, when they are in their inner chamber, when they are in the house of God. Oh, then the Lord is speaking. Then they see perhaps how that it was a leper
that it was a leper who was filthy from his head to his foot, to his feet. Oh, that he came to him. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so the people see. Oh, they begin to see that he is able also to cleanse them. Then there comes such a great change. Oh, then they are turning. They are turning from all those useless efforts to cleanse themselves, to be pure, to be holy before the Lord. And then they see all they want to do as that leper. They want to come and to lay themselves there at that feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is still another people. Oh, the Lord, he has not revealed unto them their foolishness, their unrighteousness, their filthiness. No, the Lord has revealed to them another part of that wretchedness of their fall. What is it? It is their captivity. It is that they are a captive to sin, that they are captive to Satan. Then they feel how they are not able to deliver themselves out of this captivity. And after all of their own labors, oh, then they feel their helplessness. How strong is Satan? How strong is sin? How strong is that drawing of the world? Then they have to cry out with Hezekiah of old, oh, Lord, this enemy, he is too great for me. I have no strength against this great enemy that is coming against me. And what is the Lord doing? Oh, the Lord, he is that greater bridegroom. Oh, he is standing, that hidden, that most hidden person behind our wall. But that greater bridegroom, oh, then he is looking forth through. He is just peeking, as it were, at the people. Oh, they may see him. They may see just a little bit of him. Oh, what do they see of him? What is the part that the Lord is showing unto them? It is not his wisdom. It is not his righteousness. It is not his holiness. But it is his strength. It is his might. It is his power. They are sitting in the house of God. Oh, they hear God's servant. Oh, they don't hear so very much, no. Because there is only one thing they see. And that is their utter captivity. And then all of a sudden, they have ears to hear something. And what is that? Oh, then the minister, he has spoken. He has just read maybe from the word of God. And what he read from the word of God. He has read what God said to the devil. It shall bruise thy head. And oh, then they hear. They hear. It shall bruise thy head. It shall take away his power. Or maybe they hear what Paul has spoken. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And then they hear. Oh, they hear. And that one word. By that one word they see something. Oh, they see something that they have never seen before. They see something of the power that they miss, the power that they lack, the power that they need. And they begin to cry. They begin to cry out after the power of that Son of God, that he may bestow that power also upon them. Does the Lord lead his people in one way? Oh, the Lord, he has so many leadings, congregation of his people. But is that not all one way? Oh, that is still all one way. Because now in the heart of this people there is a witness. That is our second thought. Oh, what is that witness now that is laying in the heart of each and every one of these children of the Lord? Well, what is a witness? Children, you know what a witness is. A witness is someone who has seen. He can make a report. He can tell because he has seen it with his eyes. And a witness is now someone that in this world that we are often seeking, because we often want someone who is able not to say it from the mouth of someone else, but that he may tell it as he has seen it with his own eyes. Here is a person that knows. Here is a person that can remember. Here is a person that will not easily forget because he has been told by someone else. No, here is a person for whom it has been the experience of his life. Here is one that can make a distinction. Here is one that can say what it is and also what it is not. Here is one that can describe it. Here is one that can tell me all the details. And if someone will say, no, it went this way, no, he will say, I have seen it with my eyes. It is the experience in my life. Then you are wrong. And now what does John say? He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. Who is this witness? Whose witness is this? We read it here also. John said, it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. In the Word of God, then we have the witness of the Spirit. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of the Revelation, inspired by the Spirit of the Lord, that he has spoken, that the apostles may see by the Spirit, and that the apostles may now record what has been given them to see by that Spirit. But what does Paul say? He says that Spirit he continueth to witness, that he continues to give that church eyes to see. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Thus, their heart itself becomes a witness to the things that Spirit has given him to see by that eye of faith. And that may have been congregation just a little light. It may be that he has seen it among many shadows. It may be that he has seen it in the midst yet of great darkness, that there was just a moment's light. And yet, he has seen it. And how may we know if we have really seen it? How may we really know if we have seen something of that Son of God? And if we indeed have come to believe on the Son of God? Well, there will be in that moment some relief. There will be in that moment some relief for your soul. No, we do not say it is the full deliverance that you will receive in that moment. But there will be something. Because from the side of man, then we are brought unto an utter despair. And when we are standing finally with our own hands down, that there is nothing that we are able to do anymore, and then there has to be some relief, even when we are not yet in the possession. Then there has to be some relief, then at least we see there is a possibility, then all the possibility that has been cut off from my own side. Thus, there comes a new hope, so we may know that we have seen something and come to believe on the Son of God, because there is some relief, there is a new hope. And that hope that may be very small, it may be as it were a hoping against hope, as we read in the Word of God. But it is a hope. How may we know that we have seen something, that we are a witness of the Son of God, that we have come to believe on that Son of God, then there will also be a change in our seeking. That is the fruit of this sight. That is the fruit of the revelation of the Son of God to the soul of His children. Whether it be much that we have seen, whether it be just a very little bit that we have seen, but when that soul that is a witness of Him, then that soul begins for the first time in his life to go out unto that Son of God. Oh, then it is a new way. Then it is the way of grace. Oh, there may be much trembling in that way of seeking. But there is an unmistakable difference between the old way and that new way. Oh, there may be much of the plague in the heart of the church continually, of that old way, that broken covenant, but they are not strangers. They are not strangers of that new way. And this is where they have experienced that they find relief for their soul. He that believeth on the Son of God, he hath the witness in himself. O congregation, if we miss this witness, then we must warn you. Then do not approach unto that holy supper of the Lord. But if you have seen him, or even the smallest glimpse of that Son of God, even with that weakest faith, oh, then we say, do not deny him. Oh, if you may experience what it is to see just this much of him, oh, if you may experience what it is to see just a little glimpse of him, if you may experience what it is to have the weakest faith on the Son of God, oh, then what and how you will not desire that that faith may be strengthened. Because then what shall it be to see him in that strength of faith? And that is now his desire. And that little glimpse, that little comfort, O ye of little faith, that he may give you the strength of it for the battle that is yet to be fought in this life. Amen. Let us now read the form for the administration of the Holy Supper, which can be found on page 60 or 136 in the back of your psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul
in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins, and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that every one examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Wherefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives, all these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, and that he assumed our flesh and blood, and that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, if from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him? And finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, You shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts to the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 417, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O, let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 417.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we have now come to that moment that the Lord has commanded us to come from time to time while we are in this world. When He has commanded that this institution, that it is taking place even until that He comes. And we read in the words of our text, "He that believeth on the Son of God, he hath the witness in himself." That witness that is not in the hearts of one another. No, that witness that is laying in our own heart. And therefore, it is not the work of any one of us to examine what is laying in the heart of my neighbor. But it is that we are examining what is now lying as a witness in our own heart in this moment. And that witness that is not only someone who has seen, but a witness is also one who speaks. So that witness, if that is has seen in your heart, that witness is this morning also speaking in your heart. And it is saying yes, or it is saying no. That indeed I have been a witness. Oh, he that believeth on the Son of God. You say, do I believe? Do I believe? Do I believe on the Son of God? What a question that is laying in the heart of that people. Do I believe on the Son of God? Then the Lord Jesus does not ask after the assurance and that is found in that believing. No, He is asking after the existence of that believing. And then we have read together, whether I believe the faithful promise of God, that all my sins are forgiven me and for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ. It is not asking whether I believe that all my sins are forgiven me. No, but whether I believe that faithful promise of God. Thus, when we have seen just a little bit, when we have had just a little glimpse, then when our heart has gone out to Him, when there has been a little hope born, then I have begun to believe in that faithful promise of God, that all my sins are forgiven me, not for my own sake, no, but for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ. Oh, are there still yet those whose heart in this moment is speaking that there is a witness in your heart? You are not alone, because we read here, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Thus, along with the witness that is in the heart of the people, there is a record that is in heaven. And He knows when there is no witness, and He also knows when there is a witness. Therefore, are there any others that know? Not our neighbor, but that know along with this
three in one witness what they have seen and witnessed in their life. If not, then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And what is that witness? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood,
even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth, water and blood. They are those two that have flowed out from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John is the only one that writes of this in his gospel. And now the Apostle John speaks again of this water and blood, to say that this water and blood flowing out of him, that has such a deep meaning. And we see that meaning also if we go to the Old Testament and we see the tabernacle. Then in that tabernacle, from the entrance to that tabernacle, even unto that Holy of Holies, then we see both these two substances, both water and blood. And John is careful to say, not by water only, but by water and blood. And now, friends, when John writes, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself, then how much may you witness? Was it much that you may see? Or was it but a little glimpse that you may see of him? Or isn't it then such a very little bit that you may behold yet in that Son of God? And is it not in your estimation that there really is so very much, much more? And indeed, so it is. Because he came, John says, by water and blood. And what is now more, what is necessary more than this? Does that water and blood not now take care of all the needs of his church? Because it is by blood that we are forgiven. That blood that had to be shed before the judgment seat of God, in order that we may be acquitted from all our sins. Thus it is by blood that man is forgiven, that he is justified. But then there is also water, because you feel it in yourself, the vanity, the corruption, how that you are never, even when you are forgiven before the judgment seat of God, oh, how shall you ever come into that blessed communion with him as such a filthy wretch? Oh, then he says, it is both by water and by blood. And that is now the fullness that there is in that Son of God. And then you may see and witness a little bit, but then there is actually so much more. And that is to be seen by his church. And it is for this reason that he is gathering his church from time to time, also about such an holy supper. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear record in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Thus, what do we read in God's word? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. And how many witnesses does the Lord now give here? He gives six witnesses. Three that bear record in heaven, and three that bear record on earth. Oh, six witnesses. Why? That every word of his may be established, and that we may know it to be the truth. Thus, the Father, he has witnessed his Son. He has witnessed in the day of his baptism, and that he has spoken in that day, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Or has he not also witnessed in his transfiguration? Has he not also witnessed with every miracle that he has performed? Has he also not witnessed in his resurrection, when he has raised him from the dead, to say that the price that is so completely paid? Has he not witnessed when he has brought him up unto himself and crowned him with all glory and honor? Thus the Father is a witness. And the Son, oh, he witnessed of himself. His miracles, they testified of him. And then he has spoken those gracious words which were a witness to everyone, so that even the enemy could not come by time to take him. Thus the Father and the Son, the Spirit, oh, has he not witnessed of him? Even when he conceived the Son in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was he not a witness descending as a dove in the time of his baptism? Or was he not the witness? Did the Lord Jesus not declare that I cast not out devils by the prince of the devils, but that I cast them out by the Spirit of the Lord? Was he not the witness on the day of Pentecost? Was he not the witness when he has given all the gifts unto his disciples for the bringing in of his kingdom? Thus three, and they are witnessing from heaven. They are bearing record in heaven, and three on earth. Oh, that Spirit that he is coming to give, that witness. Oh, even that little witness perhaps within your own heart. And then there is also the water and the blood. The water of baptism by which we may receive his witness time and time again in the midst of the congregation. And then this witness, and that blood that may be portrayed for us here at the table of the Lord from time to time, that we have six witnesses all witnessing together of that one thing. What do we read? These three are one, that is the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And what do we read? These three agree in one, that is the witness that is in your own soul concerning the Son of God and the water of baptism and the blood of that holy supper of the Lord. Oh, so he gives a witness for the establishing of your heart. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, do you believe on the name of the Son of God? You say, I cannot believe in him. Oh, the Lord has given you to believe in him. The Lord has given it in that moment of the exercise of the faith that he has planted. And despite all your weakness, and these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. All I have written unto them unto you, that there are six witnesses, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may know that you have a right to eternal life, that right that has been bought for you by my only begotten Son, and that you may know that you are also a partaker by a very small beginning of that eternal life, when you may be a witness and when you may believe in that Son of God. Why have I written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That seems like it is redundant. It seems like it is not necessary, but you know how necessary that it is. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. All that you may believe on his name again. And that believing on his name may be strengthened. And that the increase of your faith may be experienced in your own soul to the honor of his name. And to your blessed comfort in the short time that there is still left here in this world, when believing, and that shall be exchanged for an eternal beholding, and when that little hope that has been planted in our heart, that shall prove never to be put to shame. So be it. Let us sing. Psalter 311. 311 stanzas 1 and 2 only. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to thee? 1 and 2 of 311, after which the communicants may return once again to their seats. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart, thus bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all. and given us all things with him. Therefore, God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 429, the first stanza. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation. Before the gods with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. Stanza 1, 429.
With all my heart.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.